Whoa, three reels. Oh, my God.
Man, it's getting might get too real in here.
It might get too real. All right, everybody. Insurance Gurus Podcast episode, whatever this is. I got the real Eric Dijon on here. He's going to light it up for us today. We actually were supposed to do one a while back. You know, I don't think we were really prepared for the realness that's coming back then. So it's a good thing that it's taken this long to get him on here. And this morning, my main man, Steven Martinez, is not here. This is not Steven Martinez. Steven has a brand new baby, and he's at a baby doctor's appointment. And that's important, you know, because when you bring life into the world, you got to go make sure it's going to stay alive and stuff. So I got Johnny Brock here. Johnny, what's up?
What's up, brother? I'm super stoked to be here.
Thanks for having me. God.
I feel like it works out well.
It does, because I think Johnny knows our guest a little bit, so that'll work. Eric, what's up, man?
What's up, brother? Thanks for having me on. Fired up to be on the Gurus Podcast. I see that background all over social media all the time, so it's a pleasure to finally be a part of it.
Oh, yeah. Well, Eric Dijon, who is a high-energy baller, shout out to high-energy ballers, and he is like one of the things that we have to bring up is that Eric is brokering like all of the deals for when we move to Tampa. Like he's going to hit us up on the leasing of our new office space. He's going to get some solar panels for the roofs of the houses when we move down there. He's got like all kinds of shit. He's going to sell us the like liability insurance for the office and write us all new life policies too, man. So
I got you. And all areas of life got to be striving for greatness.
So all areas. Do you know why he says areas?
Probably because it gets people's attention.
Nope. Grant Cardone, 10X, if you listen to the book, he'll say, in all areas of life.
Actually, my favorite Grant Cardone book, and I do audio books because, you know, reading hurts my brain. So audio book,
be too smart for the
average. Boba. That book really got me going because I need somebody to kick me right in the nuts sometimes and tell me that I'm not working hard enough. And that's what he's really good at. That was his gift from God, I think. And he does have some great Louisiana spins on some words for sure.
Uncle JC is the real.
But you know,
sure.
Eric, I think you have some great New Yorker spins on some words. And so when you do an audiobook, there's going to be people that are intentionally saying words that way. So they sound like you.
Yeah. I think I might do it on purpose just so I can stick out to the crowd.
That's a good reason, man. It's peacocking.
I think part of the reason Grant does that is because he knows people are going to say it that way. And, you know, he's a marketing genius. So everything he does
probably is
marketing. So.
He is. When he went on the Jordan Belfort, you know, they had that podcast. And they were, you know, arguing and all that, and they got a whole bunch of viewership. To me, when they started arguing about sales and marketing, I was like, well, Grant is more of a marketer than a salesperson. But at the end of the day, what sells more, individual sales tactics or marketing? Marketing wins.
Marketing all day long.
Yeah.
It is sales, really. Think about it. Sales in a certain way, just like if you're educating somebody to buy from you. It's a certain type of sales.
We market, and so we don't even have to be that good at sales.
That's right.
The best salespeople can literally, you know, if you don't have leads, you don't have anybody to close, and you're not selling anybody.
Right.
And you're going to be low on the leaderboard. So
that's right.
Marketing always wins.
That's nowhere to be.
We don't want to be down there.
Not a spot.
So Eric, tell us what you have been up to, man. I met you
8%
a couple of years ago, and then you were doing big things in insurance. Then you went off and you solarized the whole country. You got everybody.
And now he's back.
Solar panels. You sold them all. And so now you're like, well,
sold them all.
Everybody's got solar panels. Now everybody needs a life policy, right?
Exactly. Ran out of people to sell. Yeah. Back when I met you, back in, I think that was 2019, at the 8%. I was selling life policies, and then gotten back into solar industry. Just saw greener grass, greener pastures. That's one thing that I would recommend. You know, anybody out there watching is, you know, when someone else is doing something better, or there's a better option, don't just jump. you know, obviously I don't have any regrets because it has built me into who I am today, but definitely just focus on watering, you know, your grass and building up, you know, what you can build, because that's gonna pay off more in the long term when you focus on what, you know, you have right now. So I got into solar, did that for 2 years. After about the last 14 months, I got into, you know, once COVID hit, started selling primarily over the phone, sold a little over $5 million in personal production over the phone and solar in about 14 months. And then built some teams. So all in all, my 2 years there, did about $12 million with teams and then personal production. So not too bad. Obviously, the sales a little bit more, so it's not as, you know, an insurance that would be like, it'd be a lot less, but a lot more impressive. But now I just got back into insurance last month. So I'm locked in, stick and stay for the long term. I saw, you know, kind of saw the pros and cons for both. And what I can say is, you know, there's nothing better than the financial services industry. There really isn't, you know, as far as potential, as far as like, you know, the people that you can involve yourself with, and overall, just the, you know, it's all about, yeah, just the overall potential and the upside is, there's nothing like it in financial services. So I'm glad to be back. Got big goals.
And there's multiple ways, you know, there's so many ways to skin a cat or make money, or even right. within the industry, this industry, there's a lot of different ways to do things. And, you know, I think one of the cool things is being able to bring people in that have it. They're real. If I may, they're real, but they haven't found a real avenue to express their realness. Those people
like that,
like in the financial services industry, can find, you know, a track that is worthy of the pace that they can run, you know. But I will say, man, you find a lot of people that think they're real, but they ain't real.
They're the fake.
They're the fake all day. You know, some people want the money. They want the success. They want, you know, the stuff. That's what they see. And they're like, yeah, I want that. Of course you do. Of course you do. So, you know, I love that aspect of it, being able to show people a path, and the people that can really, you know, make something out of that opportunity. Is an extremely rewarding thing. And then also on the other end of it, the only way you really make money is helping somebody solve a problem. So it's a win-win-win for the insurance company, the salespeople, the agents, and the consumer alike. And that's a beautiful thing when three people can win, three entities can win, and everybody makes money.
You have to want the process. You can't want the stuff. You have to want the process. That's what I enjoy every day. You got to trust the process. Yeah. You got to love it. I enjoy working. I enjoy coming, building, growing. That's what everything's really about, growing with your team and all that.
Yeah.
Trust the process.
The biggest people in any industry or in the world, when you look at them, they're not people that said, I want to be rich. They're people that said, I want to accomplish something great, huge, big. They're thinking.
Make an impact.
Impact. And it's like, it's a legacy thing. Those are the people that are real. So I'm going to give just a second here because, you know, we whore this platform out to corporate sponsors. So I'm going to do a little plug for Heartland National. Check it out.
And now a word from our sponsor, Heartland National Life Insurance Company. Guys, when I talk about Heartland National Life Insurance Company, I get pretty passionate because those guys have been so good to us in our endeavor to better serve our clients with fully customizable hospital indemnity plans to go along with both ACA and Medicare Advantage plans successfully. I'm looking at the notes. I had to break script, but it is important to note that Heartland National provides competitive Medicare supplement options and hospital indemnity plans in 36 states. That's 36 states where you're going to have a product selection with this company. And this company was started by an agent with the agent in mind. It's very important to know that because when you're out there producing, sometimes it feels like you're not thought of by the insurance company, but this product is thinking of the consumer and the agent alike. It makes it really easy for us to do our job, covering more risks, getting compensated like we deserve, and making sure that our clients have the coverage they need. Head over to BobbyBrockInsurance.com/Heartland, BobbyBrockInsurance.com/Heartland, to get set up with access to these products immediately. You're not going to regret it. Thanks, guys, for watching.
/Harlan.
That's right. That's right. Boom, baby.
That's right.
You know, Heartland National is good. I said we whore the platform out to corporate sponsors. But I will say this. I'm just kidding a little bit. We do that, but we only do it to people that we actually believe in, platforms that we believe in. So any advertising we put out there is either a product that we use ourselves. You know, I was listening to Brad Lee one time, and he was in one of his episodes where he had never done a sponsor before, but Manscaped.
Yeah.
Had reached out to sponsor the podcast, and he was like, "That's something I can believe in, you know, shaving your ball."
he's the real for sure.
So anyway, that was funny. All right, man. So what's next for you? I mean, I know you're down there with the Terminator, Ryan Lohde.
The Terminator.
That dude is.
That's a good nickname, man. I've never heard that one.
There's no gonna get that guy down or distract him. He's on a mission, right? And you guys down there together with your extreme optimism and, you know, salesmanship and understanding of marketing on the right path in the epicenter of money in probably the Southeast, at least, if not the whole country.
Yeah.
Well, what's the plan, guys? I mean, what's your goals right now?
Yeah. So right now, just focusing on personal production, building an agency is obviously, you know, you can't win without people. So that's step one, right? Is finding the right people, finding committed people that are going to, you know, buy into our core values and overall the culture that we're trying to build, which is, you know, a group of obsessed maniacs that want to strive for greatness in all areas of life. Yeah. You know, I would say that, you know, actually we're going to Wilmington next month, or this month, in a few weeks, mm-hmm. To strategize and figure out, you know, ways in which we can get more people within the agency. So that's like the main thing on the priority list right now. Other than that, just producing ourselves so that way we can, you know, people can come in and we can give them more of to build off of. So the goal is 25 million this year and then have $100 million shop by 2025. Nice. And then have about 20,000 agents by 2030. So
that's good shit.
I don't think anybody's more capable of it. So I know you guys have good partners. We believe in you. We want to support you guys any way we can.
Absolutely.
You know, because you guys are just fun. You're doing things the right way. You're working hard, trying to add value, and not letting anybody get in the way. So that's something to believe in. And I just know it in my heart, right here, or left side. Right?
Yeah, I think it's over here.
Okay. Anyway, I know it in my heart that somewhere in there, you guys are gonna get into Medicare hardcore, and we're gonna be right there.
Help you
with it. So
absolutely, brother. Yeah. I'm excited for that. Yeah. I ruled it out in the beginning, you know, when I first got back in, I was like, nah, but then I told Johnny the other day, I'm like, man, I think I'm just gonna crush final expense till AEP and then I already got the contracts with you, so I've already got them with the best of the best. I might as well just, you know, go all out.
Well, and it's I like the idea of getting in final expense, like when you're a brand new agent, getting in final expense. Mm-hmm. You know, learning some other life tactics because it gives you the income now that you need, and then learning how to cross sell Medicare to your life clients. That's right. The gateway in, and then maybe eventually when the renewals start to outpace the life, then you can kind of flip the script and maybe do more Medicare cross selling life. But in the beginning, it's very difficult to earn a great income on Medicare because it's a long play, you know.
Right.
I think it's Albert Einstein said the eighth wonder of the world is compound interest. Well, I'd say the only wonder of the world that matters is compounding residual income. It's even better than compound interest. Mm-hmm. So being able to take those renewals and stack them is something that people don't understand until they've done it for a while and they see the power and the impact of it and how it can fuel your entire business, whether it's the life side, the Medicare side, or anything else you want to do as part of that platform. So. But I know you guys are going to, you know, do big things regardless. So
tell me this, like, you know, I know you're a steady producer in your sales process, but I'd say probably one of your gifts right now that agents seek you out for is your ability to commit and, you know, and you know, work leads and do what you need to do to make money right now. And that's something that so many people skip. They come in and they see, you know, big things. They're looking at
recruiting,
automation, recruiting, all these things. Like, they'll look at us and they'll be like, oh, I want, you know, that office. I want to run that commercial. I want to do all these things. And I'm like, day one, all agents should be get leads, make sales, retain clients, and repeat that over and over and over again until you actually have a process worth training someone on. And so what is what like your process? I know you guys have a process. What is your process to just crush personal production right now?
Yeah, I mean, the main thing is to show up every single day. You got to show up. If you're not, you know, if you're showing up like stagnant, like, you know, some days you're showing up early, some days you're showing up late, some days you're not showing up at all, then you're just not going to have consistent results. So showing up and committing all the way and taking massive amounts of action is really step one, right? And everybody, you know, wants to get into the automation, the marketing, and everything else that'll, you know, make them money without them having to do any work. That's like what a lot of people want to do. But
the pipe dream.
Right, the pipe dream, right? But focus on the cash flow is what I would say. Focus on, you know, life insurance and getting money into your, you know, in your account, helping people out and retaining those clients, because the cash flow is ultimately going to drive everything else, right? Just like you were saying, then you can get into other things like Medicare and rely more on passive residual income like you guys, you know, fully do, right? So, man, you just got to take action, set a target, like, and also attach that target to something that is bigger than just paying your bills, right? Because like I, for example, I've wrote almost 15,000 just this month. It's the fourth day of the month in life premium. Wow. And man, I wouldn't be able to do that if I didn't have a bigger purpose, a bigger why than just like to pay my bills, right? So set a vision of what you actually want to do in the future, so that way it pulls you towards that you know, that future, that vision. Yeah. Because otherwise you're just going to write, you know, you're just going to write a few policies, you know, you'll make your $700 for the day that you get paid in a few days. And you're just going to sit back because you're not going to know, you're not going to have any clarity on what it is and why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
So take massive action and have a clear goal on what you want. Have a goal of like actually helping other people, right? We can't actually make long-term, you know, build long-term wealth without people. We can only do so much ourselves. So focus on making it about other people. Because when you give enough to other people, you're going to get everything that you want.
Yeah. Well, so, and that's important, because when you say show up every day, I think, and Johnny will see this, that there's some people that show up, but they're focused on the wrong thing. They're not focused on the incremental. I say this a lot, and I don't know if I'm getting across to people, but I'm going to try to keep saying it and maybe write a damn book on
one,
it.
One foot in front of the other.
One foot in front of the other. Individual incremental activity that are, you know, and those activities need to be income producing activities. You know, if you're a sole proprietor, you know, you're an individual salesperson, you have to focus on what's making you money right now. And that's not a vain thing to say, because what's making you money is probably the problem that you're solving for someone. Eventually, when you have a team, the problems you're solving are for that team, so they can go out and do the income producing activities. But in the beginning, you don't need automations and CRMs and all that stuff. You know, get a process going, and then once you're selling and you're successful at that, then you might want to streamline some more processes to help refine, you know, your process, so that you can replicate that activity more. But in the beginning, it's just going out and selling, and some people make it so much more difficult. So when you say, you know, show up every day, show up and focus on the right things, don't get lost in the weeds, and
don't watch motivational videos all day.
Yeah, that can get, you know, that's like, commit a time to that. If it fuels you, which I get it, like I love this shit. I mean, I used to go and listen to
hip-hop preacher.
I listen to, you know, Eminem and sit in the sauna and jazz myself up, right? And I'll still, you know, do crazy, you know, goofy stuff like that. It does help. I think, actually, Grant Cardone talks about it. He'll listen to you know, like if he was saying something in one book that was like, if I had a 40-minute commute, I'd spend 30 minutes of it listening to informational products so that I could learn something. And I'd spend the last 10 minutes before I showed up listening to something that amped me up. And he actually dropped like Eminem or something. And it is to just kind of trigger that mood. But you have to suppress that into a small period of time during the day so that, you know, 8 to 5 or 9 to 5 or whatever that time slot is, you just go ham on making those contacts and making shit happen. And the bigger picture has to be there because, look, what we do, in my opinion, isn't hard, but most people don't have the temperament to stick it out because they don't have the bigger picture. And the bigger picture can change. It's changed for me over time. You know, at first it's, I want to make sure, you know, for me, but first it was like, okay, I got out of the Marine Corps. I wanted to replace my income that was there so that I could provide for my family, right? Then the next goal was, well, now I want, you know, we're driving through these neighborhoods with these bigger houses and I want that house. And then, you know, I buy that house and then I'm driving through another neighborhood. I'm like, these houses are bigger. And so that goal just begins to change. And then all of a sudden you're attaining these goals and you're like, this isn't anything, you know, now that goal seems right. Like mediocre. Right. And so you're, it's a shifting focus
ceiling. Too.
And it's like, some people are like, well, I don't need, what do you need that house for? I don't know, bro. Because it keeps me moving forward. Like if everybody thought small, there wouldn't be shit. We wouldn't even have cities. There wouldn't be that sky rise building behind you. Why would anybody build that? Why would somebody build that if they were thinking like, who needs that? Who needs to own that building? I could live in a trailer and be fine. You know, it's just
media that, average. You're talking about the average folk.
That type of thinking, it creates a world where none of the stuff, like the things that those average people love, like sitting there and scrolling through TikTok. Who would have created TikTok? Who would have created the phone they're doing it on? Who would have innovated touchscreen technology? That's big. That small thinking is bad. And so the reason those things were created is because those people thought bigger and they had a bigger goal. Maybe the goal was tied to some sort of thing they could get, like a car or house. But eventually it becomes about the people that work for them. It becomes about the team. It becomes about the legacy, and then it's just the goal is the goal. So like when you say 100 million, like there's a point in that process where you're like, hey, I got most of the stuff I want, but now I just want the 100 million in premium. Why? Because I fucking said I was going to do it, so I want to do it. Exactly. So and that's something I think people just don't get until they've done something. Yeah. And that Michael Jordan documentary where he says
in the last dance
when people, he says something like, people told me, you might say, well, you did things this crazy way. And he says, that's you because you've never won anything. You've never accomplished anything. When you go out and you do something big and you feel that sense of accomplishment, you want to replicate that feeling. That feeling's bigger than anything that you could get or any goal you could really have. It's just the feeling of accomplishment. And that's dignity. And I think, you know, unfortunately, the world's lacking in teaching people that. You know, absolutely, to have dignity. It starts with mowing your damn yard when you're a kid and looking back on it and thinking, wow, I did that. I made that look good. I feel good about it. And then it's just every step along the way up to Elon Musk level or whatever. So, and that's my tirade. But it's what you're talking about. It's important. And, you know, I think anybody that sits back and takes the time to accomplish big things, can reprogram their mind to not be satisfied with small stuff, because it's not about making your basic needs met. It's about thinking bigger. And when people think bigger, the world gets better.
You'll never make more than your highest. Like if you have a set goal of, I want to make $3,000 this month, you're not going to make more than $3,000. When I was broke and I was, like he was just talking about earlier, getting satisfied, I would, you know, pressure wash a house, make $900, and I was in my head, I was good for the week. Yeah. Right. So you have to have this, you have to raise that ceiling. I want to make 10 grand, 20 grand.
It becomes the point, like I always have to like precursor, because to the average person, they're thinking, why do you need X amount of money? It's not about needing it. It's not like because I got it, I'm going to go spend it. Right now we're sitting very cash rich in our business because I need it to invest in the next level. It's about growing the business. You know, when I started, it was me, my dad, and then we ended up hiring like one admin person. We're just very small. Now we're, you know, 3 offices and 26 employees. Like and that's not, that's nothing, like, you know, but it's it, like, if you don't think big, those people don't have a job. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
anyway. we're trying to have an effect on millions of people,
and trying to
positive down
the idea that having a goal to make more money is directly tied to what creates prosperity for the whole world.
Yep.
People don't think that way. The world suffers.
It's really just a tool. When you think about it.
Owe it to the world to think bigger.
Absolutely.
And that's why we have to have goals in all, you know, as Grant talks about, all areas of our life. You know, it's not just about, you know, your financial goals. It's about, you know, what can you do to help your family? What can you do to help your community? You know, what do you want to do recreationally? There's so many different ways in which we can actually impact other people in our life. And if the people that are saying, like, why do you need that? You know, what do you, you know, you don't actually need that. Those are the people that are only thinking about themselves.
Yeah.
So it's like society's, yeah, it's like we're taught, like, oh, you're selfish if you chase after money. I believe it's the opposite. I think it's you're selfish if you're not, because you can't help anybody except for yourself if you don't have anything up except for, you know, the bills, the money to pay your bills.
Yeah. 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 No, that's a perfect, you know, I'd never even said it, but you're selfish when you're just thinking about how can I make my basic needs met. And some of those people that complain about people making too much money aren't even covering their own basic needs. They're relying on other people to cover their basic needs. So, and that's extremely selfish, because now you're not even selfish enough. Like, you're not even unselfish enough to at least go cover your own bases, you know. And we have that, you want to talk about a pandemic. That's the pandemic in the world.
That is the pandemic.
That's the pandemic. That's right. So
average
is the pandemic. I'm gonna make that t-shirt. Will you buy my t-shirt if I make one that says
I'll hang it up on my balcony.
There you go. That's right. Well, I'm going to get you a damn flag to hang up in there. Average.
They'll make him take it down. They made Lodi take his 10X flag down, didn't they?
The city of Tampa said that he had to take it down because people were complaining. They said that's it's advertising or something.
Yeah.
But if it said, like, let's be average, they probably wouldn't have complained.
what if it said Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Then they would. They'd be okay.
Oh, they wouldn't say anything for that. I saw multiple of those last time I was there.
Yeah, we were just down there, and I saw flags all over places. I guess that advertising the Bucs is okay, even though that is a private business.
Technically,
and I'm all for it. Go Bucs, you know. I think what would be the coolest thing in the world is, and I'm like the least NFL fan in the world, but it would be really entertaining if Tom Brady retired and somehow the Bucs won a Super Bowl next year.
That would be funny and awesome.
It would be entertaining. It's not going to happen. But so listen, Ryan, or not Ryan, I called you Ryan Lodi. That's actually not a bad thing. You know, he's a great guy. So Eric, we are going to have to do this again, because there's a lot more to unpack and talk about. And I know that you guys' progress is so rapid that there'll be new revolutions or evolutions to talk about in it soon. I hope you'll come back, and I'm going to play one more spot here before I come back and ask you a follow-up question to end all follow-up questions. And so stay tuned just a second.
Insurance Toolkits is the premier platform for effectively quoting final expense, simplified issue term life, and Medicare supplement policies. That's right. The intuitive underwriting software eliminates potential declines and provides accurate quoting for dozens of carriers. Medicare supplement underwriting is one of the most difficult things we have to teach a new agent. Visit insurancetoolkits.com to start your free 14-day trial today.
All right, bro. We got the question. Is there, and you can elaborate as much as you want to on this question, is there a correlation between being able to pick up random chicks anywhere in the world and sales?
Absolutely. 100%. I mean, at the end of the day, it's all a numbers game.
That's right.
It is always, there's always going to be whatever you're trying to do in life, whatever you're trying to accomplish. There's always going to be a certain percentage of people that are interested.
Yep.
You know, there's always going to be a certain percentage of people that are closable. So
yep.
The more people that you reach out to, the more people that you're going to close ultimately. Yeah,
that's right.
You know, obviously it's a little, I would say it's a little different, but it's not, right? Because like, for example, for insurance, you know, if somebody fills out a form or if somebody said they wanted a call back or a live transfer, whatever it was, then they're on that product, right? And they, you know, they are expecting you to talk about that product. So it's like the same process every single time. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, so it makes it a little bit more like simple, right? If you are, you know, if you're going out and you see a bunch of girls at like a bar or something, they might, you know, they might not all be wanting, you know, that product. Maybe they're, you know, obviously they do to a certain extent, right? But
they all may want it. Maybe they're just in denial.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that too. They might have a boyfriend. They might be married. But at the end of the day, it's all about, you know, what I found is that, like, dude, if you just ask enough people, like, if you just ask enough prospects, you ask enough girls, dude, yeah, you're gonna, you know,
what's the number one trait that's correlation? I have one. I think the number one trait that correlates is, I would say that's probably true, but I would say, you know, there are some guys that can, you know,
pick up girls
more, right? And it's interesting sell. Because there was one time we got this guy, this agent, I won't name his name. If he ever listens to this, he'll probably know I'm talking about it. He was really good at picking up girls. Really good. So I was like, oh, this guy's going to be a great salesperson. And it didn't work out. I don't know why. Maybe he didn't believe in the product. You know, he didn't believe in the product because he believed in himself, because the number one trait, I think, for both is confidence.
Yeah.
When he was in a bar, mostly Steals Dive, and
he doesn't do anything girls, now. He just plays video games.
He would have so much confidence talking, and he just had no problem. And it wasn't like he was anything special. He was a little guy, not, you know, I mean, he's not ugly, but he wasn't like, you know, he was no Mike Henley.
Yeah, Mike's not that way, and he looks like Thor.
Yeah, we have another guy that works with us. He looks like, literally looks like Chris Hemsworth, and he's like shy.
So, yeah, if I look like that, you wouldn't be able to stop me. I'd be walking through like, let's roll. Come on, girls. Yeah,
but he, you know, 6'5", you know, anyway. But, you know, so it didn't correlate, but it was because when he would talk to prospects, there was no level of confidence, and he wasn't persistent in it. So he didn't believe in it. He didn't have it. He believed in the picking up the girl side. So persistence and confidence.
Believing in the product, I guess.
As the process that helps with both. And you have to replicate that on the sales side. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking, I'm going to get into insurance and I'm really good at picking up girls, then, hey,
boom,
you still might not be good at selling insurance.
Let's find out.
You have to replicate.
As long as you're good at picking up girls, like, in volume, not just like you're the guy that, you know, every girl wants to date.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I guess, yeah, that's Mike.
Gonna ask you next was he the guy that attracted the girls that wanted to date him, or was he the guy that girls wanted to just have a one-night stand with?
Because that actually is very, very, that makes sense, because sure, with that yeah, combination.
Yeah, that's true. Like, now if you're an ugly guy that's good at picking up girls, you'll be great at sex.
100%. We'll get you door knocking, some direct mail leads, and Final Expense, and you'd be rolling.
Yeah, persistence and confidence would help in that market. You know, it's not always good looks. You know, it's just like with, and this is another correlation that I was thinking about. You know, my wife, you know, the love of my life, Tempe, she likes skinny white guys, right? She likes skinny white guys, right?
Like, so, me.
She didn't like, you know, big jacked dudes, or, you know, she didn't like, you know, she don't want them short, but not too tall either. Like, there's a certain type, right? Yeah. Just like an agent, okay, in a style. There's some people that are going to respond to Johnny. There's some people that are going to respond to Jackson Taylor, Mike Penley. These are all different personalities. But if you play the numbers game, you're going to find the person that responds to your style. And so that's another thing. Like, when you're working age leads, you know, like, somebody already worked these. Maybe that guy didn't work them.
Yeah. Maybe that guy or that girl was a douche that person didn't like. Maybe their style just didn't appeal to those people. Like Johnny, man, we took like aged leads last year, like really old ones.
I love them.
And he was closing the hell out of them, but he was persistent.
I love him, working dude. Them, you know?
So, you know, anyway, don't blame the lead. Don't blame the girl. Don't blame any of that. Just be persistent, be confident, and keep on rolling with the punches and don't get deterred. Same thing with sales, right? So anyway, well, buddy, we really appreciate you being on here today. And we know we're going to have you back soon.
Have you in? We're going to have you to Tupelo, man.
Yeah, you got to come up to Tupelo.
Yes, sir. When does it get warm up there, man?
Summertime,
April,
bro.
April.
Yeah.
We'll drop you. We'll do a lead drop for you. You come up here and run with Johnny and some of our guys. Run some final expense, and then we'll teach you some Medicare tricks, and you teach them some life tricks, some telesales life tricks, and we'll go from there. It'll be a blast.
Let's do it, brother.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon. Thank you so much for being here, man.
Appreciate you guys having me on.
It's time to train like a guru. GoGuru University is an ever-expanding, cutting-edge, interactive training platform with live weekly coaching calls constructed to train agents efficiently and compliantly. GoGuru University offers a library of training modules explaining Medicare A to Z, face-to-face and telesales training, SEO and other marketing, and much more. Visit goguru.university to schedule your one-on-one demo today.
Sort of, I guess.
It's time to grow your agency like a guru. Introducing GoGuru Pro. The Go High Level platform allows for minimizing software-based subscriptions and grants control over several facets of marketing and communication. Automate your workflow, communicate with your leads, book appointments in advance, and house all your clients in one secure location. Visit goguru.pro and schedule your one-on-one demo today.